before you this morning, Lord, and ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. Pray, Lord, that you just strengthen us and increase our faith. Lord, we acknowledge you for the God that you are, creator of all things. Lord, you're worthy to be praised and honored and glorified. Lord, you've created all things, and all things were created for your pleasure. Thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the cross, for the shed blood, Lord. Lord, it was all done because of your love for us. You loved us enough to suffer and bleed and die for our sins, Lord. You paid the sin debt that you didn't owe and that we owed and could not pay. Thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. Thank you for each one that's come this way today, Lord. Pray your blessings on each one. Thank you for the visitors that are here today. Thank you for the service we've already had this morning on the sunrise service. The people that attended there. Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit will have the freedom to do his work in each of our hearts and lives here this morning. Pray that if there's anyone here that's lost, they'll realize their condition, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today. Accept that free gift of salvation that you provided for us. Lord, we thank you for salvation. Your love, your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering, Lord. Lord, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Lord, we just thank you for that. And we serve you. And we thank you, Lord, that you bled and died and you buried your body. Lord, 3 days later, you rose again. And praise God, we serve our risen Savior. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Have your will and way down the furthest of this service, we pray. We thank you, Lord. Can't thank you enough for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Betrayed. disciples did not understand what was happening right in front of their eyes. They were losing both their friend and Lord.
With cruelty and authority given by Pilate, the soldiers placed a heavy cross upon the back of him.
Struggling up the hill, bearing the weight of his cross, his heart ached for those who did not believe in him.
Hanging on the cross with nails in his feet and in his hands, Jesus looked out and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
After he breathed his last breath, everyone assumed it was over. They thought he was gone forever.
Carefully placing his body in a borrowed tomb and sealing it tight, little did anyone know what was to happen next.
Forever. Yes, the hope, oh how empty the grave, and the joy of a stone rolled away. It is there by grace, I am raised to life. Now no longer I, but Christ in me.
Back and be a part of what's going on here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. God has been good to us, and He has shown Himself strong this day. We had a wonderful sunrise service. Brother Ethan came to and said closer to 120 that we had this morning at the sunrise service. So if you missed that this morning, make sure next year you're a part of that. That was a wonderful time of worship. The instrumental group actually played for us all the congregational songs, so that was a blessing to see how far along they have come with that. And we have a special visitor with us, actually a couple. We have Brother and Sister Darebear with us. They got saved and served here years ago. Now he pastors over on the Gulf Coast side, and they're visiting with us this morning. So thank you very much for being with us, Brother and Sister Darebear, and your mother. So thank you for being with us. And all you visitors, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. We had a lot of visitors Wednesday night to the Bible clubs that came because you reached out to them. You told them about the kids' Bible club and the time that they'd be having, enjoying Easter egg hunting. They didn't just hunt eggs. They also got a gospel message. But we had a lot of visitors that came for that. So that was a blessing to see them Wednesday night come. So encourage them to come back. I know we're getting close to the end of the Bible club season. We'll take a short break for the summer and begin back up with the school year. We kind of followed the school calendar there. I think we had 20 teenagers in our teenage Bible club as well. So that was a blessing. So keep at it, stay busy, and allow the Lord to use you with these tools. This morning, the kids singing. Easter Sunday. You know, well, Pastor, they should come more than Easter. Well, you're probably right, and you shouldn't be such a grouchy person. Who sins greater? You're being grouchy, or them not being here? Be thankful they hear. Maybe this morning they'll hear something that gets down in their heart.
That's right.
As little as much that reaches down into our heart, the seed of the Word of God, it takes root, and we water, we plant, we water, we plant, and God brings increase. So be thankful they're here, and maybe they'll come back. If you look cross-eyed at me, like if this is the only time I show up, I might not show up again either. So be thankful they're here, and don't be an Oscar the Grouch. Be joyful that they're here. So we will have just a short time here of the Word of God this morning. We'll get you home. We know many of you got family events that you're going to be at and be visiting with. Remember, the family event is great, but the greatest family of all is God's family.
Amen.
And the only entry into God's family is, it's not through a church, but through a denomination. The only entry is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 51. This September will be 11 years that we have been the pastor here at Lock Haven. And the manner has been, up until this year, the Lord has allowed me to preach a series of messages leading up to Easter. But this year, I just didn't have the liberty to do it. That is good. It's His church. I just try to follow along what He's doing. And so this morning, I know some of you say, uh-oh. He's not over there in the gospel. Something must not be right. Well, bear with me. This is more of an Easter message than you think. It really is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. The last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many of you realize this? That death is like a hound that has stalked and is stalking all of us. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. Why do people die? There's the answer. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says this, that before one man sin entered the world, therefore all have sinned. So death is a product of sin. Now when the Bible speaks of death, there's several different ways we can look at it. Death is a physical death, where this body comes to the end of its time. And everybody's got a different time. It's a different appointment that all will meet. Not all will meet that appointment. The Bible said there in verse back in our text, in verse number 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, but we shall be changed. Some are not going to go by the way of the grave. There's going to be some that are believed in Christ and part of His family that when He calls and that trumpet sounds, we that are alive and remain, the Bible says, shall be caught up together, not by ourselves, but first those which are dead and gone forth in the grave, they shall be brought and we shall meet together and forever be with the Lord. Well, the only way that is possible, dear friend, is that we have a guarantee of resurrection. That it has happened before. And that resurrection happened through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why Paul, here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, could taunt or could reach out in words through this and say to death, "Oh, death, where's your sting?" So listen, for you and I who know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, when we pass away, when the life of this earth, when we're done here, and they lay our body down, the Bible says for us to be present, to be absent this body is to be present with the Lord. We move on into eternity. Listen, life as we know it ends, but eternity begins. And the thing about eternity, dear friend, is that it's not limited to heaven. There is an eternity for those who have never trusted the resurrected Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. So if you know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you go off into this world, you leave this world, you go by death, you'll be in the presence of God. If you reject the gift of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt, a sin debt that we could not pay, all the works of righteousness which we could lay before God were not enough. It was by His mercy that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if you do not make a decision on this earth for Christ, accepting Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, or rejecting Him as my personal Lord and Savior. If you do not accept Him, you're rejecting, and you die in your sins, dear friend, forever, in eternity, you'll spend in hell. Wait a minute, Pastor, this is Easter. Oh, it's Easter because of the resurrected Savior. It's not Easter because we hit some eggs on Wednesday night. It's not Easter because we had a sunrise service this morning. It's not Easter because there was some florist or some, what's the proper name of that, Brother Jim? The people that care for these things? Horticulturist. There you go. That's a hard word. It's not Easter because some horticulturist was able to figure out how to plant these and get these to bloom on Easter Day. And that's an amazing feat. I have taken these every year. We try to give them away at the end of the evening service. You have to come back to the evening service if you want one. We try to give them away on the evening service. And there's always one or two or three that's left, Brother Judd. There's always. So I take them out here and I plant them. I have yet, Sister Barbara, got these things to bloom again another Easter. They have bloomed, but not on Easter. This is an amazing thing that happened, but it's not Easter because this person that had the ability to work with plants and get them to stay in the proper amount of wetness, the proper amount of soil, the proper amount of darkness to light ratio, that all of a sudden on Easter Sunday morning we have Easter lilies that bloom. It's Easter because our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was a righteous Son of God, without sin, no guile found in Him, died on the cruel cross of Calvary, and they placed His body in the grave. And on the third day, bright and early for the first day of the week, He arose and He lives forevermore. That's why it's Easter. Dear friend, let me tell you something. The resurrection is our guarantee. That's why Paul could write this, and the Holy Spirit of God moved and said to Paul, jot this down and write this down. Death is swallowed up in victory. What's victory? Our faith is our victory. It was swallowed up. Oh, death, where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. We have Easter Sunday this morning, and we worship a resurrected Savior this morning, because thanks be unto God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There was two in the Old Testament. Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, verses 20 through 24, 25. Enoch was, and he was the father of the oldest man in the Bible, Methuselah. Methuselah lived to be 900 and some odd years long, and he was the oldest man in the Bible, but his daddy outdid him. His daddy lives even today. The Bible says there in verse number 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. There was another great prophet, Elijah. Elijah in 2 Kings chapter number 2, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12, talks about a fiery chariot that caught up Elijah and took him up out of here. Listen, God has the power of death and life. Now, I believe in Revelation chapter 11, these two men are going to come back, and they're going to be the great witnesses that we see. God has postponed death for them, but He's going to raise them up again.
Amen.
That's the power of God.
Yep.
See, God came that we might have life. He gave His Son that we might have life in John chapter 10. And not only have life, but have life more abundant. In Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says you were dead in trespass and sin. But He, God, quickened us, made us alive. How? Through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our personal Lord and Savior. So the receiving up of our spirit and our soul when we're dead, we're put in a box and we're laid out in front of people. People mourn. We are not there. We who have trusted Christ are in heaven with the Lord. And we're waiting for the day when the trump of God shall sound, and then He'll gather up our dust and our body, and we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be like Him. And to live with Him forever and ever and ever. How do we have this hope? How do we have this here, anchor of hope right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Because of the resurrection of Christ. Look back at the very first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. We read this morning in our sunrise service, but I'm going to read it again because this is our hope. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Okay, here's the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What Scripture? Well, when Jesus said this, as Jonah spent in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth. According to the Scripture. That's what the Bible said. Listen, dear friend, if Jesus would have rose again on the seventh day, it would have been a great miracle. But He wouldn't have been Jesus.
Sorry.
If Jesus would have rose today on the second day, it would have been a great miracle. But it wouldn't have been Jesus, the righteous Son of God. Why? Because the Bible says that the Son of Man must spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and on the third day, as part of the promise of God, God, by His power, rose Him from the grave. Hey, the tomb was not rolled away and the rock opened up and spread apart so Jesus could get out. It's so we could witness the fact there was an empty tomb.
That's right.
Well, how do you know that? Because not even 7 days later, He walks through a wall into a room. Remember? One of the disciples wasn't there, right? He missed out, didn't he? We always say, oh, doubting Thomas.
Yeah.
He just missed one Sunday.
Yeah.
I hooked him, didn't I? Got him. What's your problem?
Yeah.
Here we go. receiving up of Enoch and Adam and Elijah up into heaven, that just showed us that God has the power to do what he said he could do. The resurrected power of God as he resurrected our Savior from the grave lets us know he has the power to do what he said he would do. And dear friend, I'm looking forward to the day of the rapture of my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor, how do you have such faith in looking forward to that? Because of what Christ did.
That's right.
Because of the resurrection, I have faith to look forward to the rapture of the saints and to know that I'm going to live forever with my Heavenly Father and my Savior because of the rapture. Answer this question, I'm almost done. How much confidence, Brother Dick, how much confidence could we have in a Bible, in a person who said, on the third day, I will rise again? And then we could go to his tomb, and there he is, laid in it. The same person who tells us in the Bible, which tells us that one day we're going to be changed, if we could go to his grave. And there he was. That's why the resurrection is important. It's our guarantee. It's our guarantee that, hey, what he said is to be true. Well, preacher, but I've been a pretty good person. What's the power of sin? The law. The law. Oh, but pastor, I'm a really good... We can't even keep the Ten Commandments, much less the 610 that's throughout the Word of God. Oh, no, Pastor, I've kept them from my youth up. Don't bear false witness. I know you probably haven't murdered anybody. I don't look around here and see nobody that's probably killed anybody. But I'll tell you, dear friend, the Bible says in the New Testament, if I was to offend in one law, one portion, I've broken them all. And I don't think there's not a one of us, not a one of us, could not stand here this morning and say, I have not told a lie before. I think we could all, honestly. It's kind of difficult to ask liars to be honest, isn't it? Paul said about the Cretan, their evil bellies, slow bellies, and always lying. Hey, it'd be difficult, I think, for anybody to stand up and say, Pastor, I have never in my life told a falsehood. I've never bore false witness. I know I have. I know I have. And listen, if I've offended in that one, I need a Savior. It's simple disobedience that caused man to fall. Think about it in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had one thing that they could not do, and that was partake of that tree. And they took, they disobeyed. For by one man, disobedience, not because he was a crackhead, not because he was a wife beater, not because he was a thief. Adam was a pretty good guy, pretty intelligent. The Bible says that he named all the animals. Not because he was an extortioner. Sin entered this world because one man disobeyed. And by one man's sin, sin passed upon all men. And Jesus Christ the righteous died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might enjoy eternal life with him. How's that possible? Agreement with God. God, your Bible says for all have sinned. God, I believe I'm a sinner. God, your Bible says that Jesus Christ, your Son, came to this earth, lived a sinless life, did good for all that he came in contact with, was put on the cross. He bore my iniquity. Your Bible says, your Word, God, says that he rose again the third day. And that if anybody puts faith and trust in him and repentance towards you, in other words, to God, I'm sorry. I trust Christ, and Christ alone is my Savior. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. You know, the Bible says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? You know what you're doing whenever you come in agreement with God on salvation and eternity? You're starting to walk with God. When you want to do it your own way, you're not walking with God. God says, and the Bible says very plainly in John 14:6, no man comes to the Father but by me. Not just that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're going to agree with God. I'm not asking you to agree with Pastor Stockton. I'm not asking you to agree with Lock Haven Baptist Church. I realize today there's probably some folks here from other denominations. Some of you may go to a church that is even a non-denomination. They don't even claim a denomination. I'm not asking you to agree with me, because agreeing with me will get you a cup of coffee. Maybe a golf game if I can get around to it, right, Brother Stark? You just get around to it. That's all that's going to get you. If you agree with Lock Haven, you know what it's going to get you? Just an attaboy. You got to agree with God. See, God has the power of life and death. Too often we fear men. We better fear the one that has power over life and death. God's merciful. God loves you. But there comes an end to the mercy and to the love. And when the trump of God sounds, we are caught up. It's going to be a little too late. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. What a wonderful resurrection morning we've had so far. Wouldn't it be great this morning if you, sitting here in this pew, whoever you are, realize you're dead in trespasses and sins, but he that's in Christ is a new creature. You're made alive. Jesus lives. And he wants you to live. Life eternal comes from him alone.